Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. You know, it's been such a blessing to us here at Independence that the Lord has allowed us to have the broadcast, and we're especially thankful for the opportunity that's been given us to expand the broadcast to 30 minutes each week, and we pray that that extended broadcast will be a blessing to each of you. You know, we've been studying a course out of the book of Matthew, specifically in the 5th and 6th chapters, which are called the Sermon on the Mount. And Pastor Reynolds today is going to be picking up again in chapter 6 this morning.
Today's message will be on the subject of proper praying. This is found in the book of Matthew 6, verses 5 through verse 15. This is the second how-to that Jesus preaches. Matthew 6 is divided into four different sections altogether. Verses 1 through 4 is when Jesus Christ speaks about how to give alms. In verses 5 through verse 15, this is this morning's lesson, Jesus Christ preaches about how to pray. In verse 16 through 18, Jesus Christ preaches how to fast. And then in verse number 19 through verse 34, Jesus Christ preaches how to properly lay up treasures. But this morning, the subject of proper praying is an absolute must. It is one thing for us to speak to somebody that we know, but it is entirely different when we pray to Almighty God. Listen to what Jesus Christ says in the book of Matthew 6, verses 5 through verse 15. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Proper praying is the subject that Jesus Christ wants his hearers to understand. In these verses, Christ continues the way he spoke in chapter number 5, comparing what men say with what God declares. It is always much better to do things God's way because there are no regrets. You see, each of us will stand before Almighty God and we will give an account to him for the way we did things. We will give an account to God whether we ask correctly or whether we didn't. We will give an account to God or whether we pray so that men can see us or whether we close our doors and allow only God in there. Always keep in mind that God always sees everything you do and he hears everything that you say. You are completely accountable unto God, and you are accountable unto him alone. God can protect you, but he may also cause others to harm you, or he can even harm you himself. You see, God doesn't want his believers to be hypocrites, But he wants us to be true and honest before him and before the whole world. Notice here what Jesus Christ declares about the way that hypocrites pray. The Bible says they love to be seen of men when they pray. Praying quietly, praying personally, is unknown to them. Matthew 23, verse number 5, states, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their philanthropies and enlarge the borders of their garments." But what does this word philanthropy actually mean? The philanthropy was supposed to be something that was of a safeguard. You see, the Jews used this word, philanthropy, to describe small strips of parchment on which were written the law of Moses, and which, enclosed in small cases, they were accustomed, when engaged in prayer, to wear fastened by a leather strap to the forehead and to the left arm over against the heart, in order that they might be solemnly reminded of the duty of keeping the commandments of God in the head and in the heart. Now, they were following what the Scripture said in Exodus 13, verse number 16, and Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, and Deuteronomy 1, and verse number 18. The Jews believed that these scrolls were thought to have the power to avert various evils and to drive away demons. The Pharisees were accustomed to widen or to make broad their philanthropies, that they might render them more conspicuous and show themselves to be more eager than the majority, because they were reminded constantly of the law of God. Now, that's what the Jews did. But notice what the Bible states in the book of Numbers 15 and verse 37 through verse number 40. Here is a command that God gave to the Jews. He said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. That ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God." Notice the difference here in what the Jews were saying and what Jesus Christ told them. He says very plainly here that they should make a fringe in the borders of their garments, and on this fringe they're supposed to put a small ribbon of blue. And the Bible says very specifically here that ye may look upon it, not that anybody else would see it, not that it would be something really obvious, but that the individual themselves would look upon this ribbon of blue, and they would understand that God was the one that they're supposed to be serving. That's what they're supposed to be doing. You see, God gave this command to the Jews, but it was supposed to be a very personable thing, not a big thing that others would notice. It was a small ribbon, as wide as a single thread, of blue material the Jews were to place in the hem of their garments to remind them of the law of God. But instead of placing a small ribbon of blue, the Jews placed a broad band of blue about their garments. Why? Why did the Jews put this broad band of blue? It was so that others could see them. Not that they could see God. Not that they would be reminded of the promises of God. Rather, they put the broad ribbon of blue that people would look at them. But the law said that they ought to put a small ribbon of blue. This is a small thing. It's a thread of blue that the individual themselves could look upon it, and that person would remember the promises of God. This warning that God gave to the Israelites is the same for us. Now, we can have our own reward if we do anything to be seen of men. We're just like the Pharisees. They're people just like we are. And those Pharisees, they want to be seen of men, and sometimes we also want to be seen of men. If we do anything so others will look at us and proclaim and how good and how holy we are wrong. This is why Christ says it would be much better if we would simply enter into our closets when we pray. Now, we don't have to do public things to make God notice us. He sees us everywhere we are. And He sees everything we do. And He sees the reason we're doing what we're doing. This is why Christ states that we ought to shut the door when we pray. Christ is not saying here that it's wrong to pray in public. But we should never pray in public so men will hear us and proclaim how good and holy we are. We should always remember that God is the one that we're going to give account to. We need to always pray to God and not to men. Now, notice the words in verse 5 and verse 6. These words are very personal. They're not collective or group-oriented. Jesus speaks to His hearers as if they are real, live people. Do you know why Jesus Christ spoke in verse 5 and verse 6 as if He was speaking to real, live people? It's because He was speaking to real, live people. And they're recognized as real people. They're recognized as people that God sees and that God understands and that only God can bless. I want to say again here that much has been said about public praying and how wrong it is, but it is not wrong to pray in public. Others need to hear us praying just exactly as the disciples heard Jesus praying and asked Him to teach them how to pray. Now, for example of this, look in the book of Luke 11, verse number 1. This verse states, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples came to Him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples.'" Now, this idea that many people have that Jesus Christ always prayed privately is wrong. Jesus Christ, in this place, He was praying in a certain place, and His disciples heard it. And they understood that He was talking to God. And they wanted to talk to God the same way. You see. And so, it's not wrong to pray in public. But it is wrong if we only pray in public so that people will hear us or see us. That is wrong. In Matthew 6, in verse number 9, Jesus Christ gives what we commonly call the model prayer. The model prayer and the Lord's Prayer are two very different prayers. Now, I know that a lot of people believe that what's before us in Matthew chapter number 6 is the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's not what I call the Lord's Prayer, at any rate. The Lord's Prayer is found in the book of John 17. The model prayer, or that is a small model of how we are to pray, is found in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 9 through verse number 14. In the book of Luke 11, verse number 2 through verse 4, Jesus Christ says unto His disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ tells the disciples here that praying is more than just mouthing the right words. Proper praying is when a person asks God because they have nothing at all to give. Proper praying is from our heart, and it reaches all the way to God's heart. Sometimes prayer goes no further than what people can hear, but prayer ought to go all the way to heaven. Prayer ought to be from earth all the way to heaven. This is properly praying before Almighty God. Sometimes people might have a fiery prayer. They might pray what we would call a correct prayer that reaches no further at all. But the individual that prays to God knows that God hears. Sometimes God hears our prayers because we have nothing else to give and we're desiring of Him. That is a good thing to do. Just pray to Almighty God for the troubles you have. Pray to God that He might answer your prayer request. Pray to God. That's what the Bible says. Don't pray to people, but pray to Almighty God. Notice, Jesus Christ, in the book of Luke 11, verses 5 through verse 13, gives this story for us. And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come unto me, and I have naught to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? In all of this reading, there's one word that is an unusual word. The word is found in verse number 8, and the word is importunity. What in the world does importunity mean? The definition of the word is shamelessness, or that this person has absolutely nothing to give to his visitor. I mean, that's the whole scope of the story that Jesus Christ tells. Christ is more concerned with the people He speaks to understanding that they have nothing at all to give, and they must have Christ give to them before they can give anything at all. It is very important to understand that. God hears the desperate prayer, the desperate plea, when troubles around us are overwhelming us, and when there is nothing at all that we can do. God hears and God answers those prayer requests. And when God answers those requests, we know that it's Him that's done it. It's not been anything that we've ever done. Rather, it is what God Himself has done for us. It is useless to use vain repetitions. Matthew 6, verse 7 through 8 states, But when you pray, Use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. It is absolutely true that God already knows everything about us. God knows before we ever even utter a word how the desperation of our heart. God knows and God understands all of that. God knows the helplessness that we face many times. God hears more, though, than just our words. God hears our heart cry. This is why Jesus Christ says, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You may think that God hears more the more we say, but that isn't true. God hears the anguish of our hearts, not just the words we speak. God doesn't want to hear flowery words. He wants to hear the sincere desires of our heart. When you pray, understand that God knows and understands the feelings of your heart. When you pray, you are speaking to God and to God alone. You're not speaking to people around you. Close that thought out of your mind altogether. Because when you pray, you're speaking to God and to God alone. Make sure you're speaking from your heart, not just from your mouth. For God hears the words of our heart, not just the words of our mouth. He doesn't listen to your words and accept or reject us on what we've prayed to him for. He understands the needs we have before we ever ask him. Now, someone might ask the question, well, why does God want us to ask him if he already knows what we need? Well, the answer is very simple. When God gives us what we ask for, we know exactly who gave it. When we ask God privately, and nobody else knows it, it's just between us and God supplies that need through somebody else, we know who answers that prayer. We know who did that. It is God. Listen, there could be many, many times that you have felt an earnest desire for something and prayed openly about that, and then receive what you asked for from somebody else. And you would think that because you prayed, that this person heard it, and therefore they gave to you. Listen, that's why the Bible says that you enter into your closet. You shut the door so that nobody can hear it, and you pray to God alone. And God who hears you then will answer your prayer, and when he answers you, and gives you the thing that you need, you will know that God has given it to you, not the individual that heard your prayer. We can give glory to God that way. Our fellowship, you see, is with the Lord. It is not with just people. It's good to have fellowship with people, but it's better to have fellowship with Almighty God, because he knows everything that we need. When God answers our prayers, when we pray to him behind closed doors, we pray to him privately, then we know that it's God that's answered that prayer request for us. Now, there's some people that believe they need somebody else to pray for them. Some people believe that a preacher is more able to pray than anyone else. Well, this is not true. If you're not a preacher, you are well able to pray. You don't have to have somebody else to pray for you. Let me give you an example here. Once, a preacher built his hog pen a long way from his house. It was on his property line, but it was a long way from his house. The problem was that he built his hog pen right next to his neighbor's house. It was on the preacher's ground, of course, but right next to his neighbor's house. As you know, hogs have a peculiar scent about them. The preacher didn't have a problem with the hog scent because the hog lot was built a long way from his house, but his neighbor sure did because the hog pen was built right next door to his neighbor. This neighbor first spoke to the preacher about the problem, but nothing was done. The person spoke to the pastor again about the hog pen. Nothing was done. Then the neighbor prayed to Almighty God about the problem. Well, did God do anything? Yes, he did. God destroyed the hog lot by causing it to be struck by lightning, and it burned to the ground. Killed the hogs, too. Problem solved, right? I give this example so you will understand that a preacher can pray. But if you are not a preacher, you can also pray. God will hear your cry of anguish when it comes from your heart. And God will answer because it is not station in life that God looks at. He looks at the cry of him from the heart. A heart that is desperate for an answer from Almighty God. God hears this prayer. Just understand that this is so. God wants you to pray unto him. God wants you to just to take your burdens and cares to him. God wants you to understand that even though maybe you're not a preacher, that God hears your prayer and that God is well able to answer your prayer. God is well able to do that. Trust in Almighty God. We say that to people that are lost all the time. But the same thing is true for us that are saved. It is essential that we trust the Lord. God wants believers to trust in him. He can answer your prayer if you will pray. God can do that. God will do that. He'll do that for you. I challenge you today. Pray to Almighty God and see if what Jesus Christ said. Go into your closet. And you pray to God alone. And then you let God do whatever is pleasing unto him. Whether he answers it yes or he answers it no. I challenge you to do that and see for yourself if God will answer your prayer.
You know, it's so easy to let the ways of the world kind of creep into our prayer life, or our own pride start to creep into our prayer life. You know, and it's this message and this passage here that's always such a great reminder to us of what prayer is all about and how we should treat it. And there's nothing in it that should shine a light on us, but instead it should be a very personal thing between God and each of us individually. Well, as we come to the close this morning, we do want to once again remind you to come and join us for services. We'll be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and then 4:30 worship services. We also want to remind you of the special Bible Institute meeting we're going to be holding on November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. This year's speakers will be Brother Jerry Brewer from Purity Baptist Church in Maysville, Kentucky, and Brother Jason Wilson, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Robinson, Illinois. And of course, as a quick reminder, our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we hope to see each one of you there. Well, our time for today is up, but we are thankful you were able to join us, and we look forward to meeting with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.